thing. I traveled recently and I put my beard oil and I didn't close it properly and oil spilt on my shirt. I washed the shirt and when I looked at it, the stain was still there. And so I thought, well, I even forgot whether I washed it. I was like, maybe I didn't actually put it in the washing machine because how come the stain is still here? And so I washed it again. I've now washed it 3 times. The stain is still there. And more than the stain, the smell of the oil is still there. God said, when I put my oil on you, there's something that last Sunday, Olumide Inyush, there's something that he said that just hits the very nerve of my heart. And I've been meditating on it. So Revelations 4 verse 10, he says, so in verse 9, it talks about how when the angels are worshiping and they're crying out, that the moment they're worshiping, there are 24 elders who are sat on their own thrones, which are surrounding the throne of God, and God is seated upon the throne. And the moment that these elders, the angels start worshiping the elders, they immediately get off of their throne and fall flat on their faces, prostrate before God. And they begin to worship God with the angels. And then it says that they cast off their crowns and lay them at his feet. And he said something so powerful. Olumide Inyush said that one thing with God is that when you give him your crown, he can never return it to you in the same manner and condition with which you gave it to him. Because when you submit something to God, when something enters into the holiness of God, it can only come out in dimensions that your heart, your mind, your eyes have not seen, considered, thought, imagined. And so when you submit something to God, they come under a great anointing and oil. And I remember a few months ago at Ignite, we had the presence and God really showed me something. This was in and around the time, so not a few months ago, that the Queen had passed away and were in England and they were getting ready for the coronation of the King. And I was reading about the value of the crown. And it says that no one has actually valued the crown officially, but they range that its value is somewhere between 3.6 billion and $6.3 billion. And that is just the crown itself. That's the jewels on the crown. That's all the different rubies and all those kind of things that are seated on the crown and the valuation of the crown. But that God showed me that there are two values to the crown. There's the value of the crown itself. There's the value of the gold, the value of the rubies, the value of all of those things. And then there's the value of the authority the crown represents. Because if something happened to that crown, while they might not be able to get one anymore of the same level of value, and I won't talk politics about where the crown and the jewels came from, but what they will do is they'll replace the crown, but the crown will carry the same authority. And then there's an authority that God has given us in different spaces. The Bible says he has called us kings and priests. And so when you have a crown, you have an authority. You have something God has besetted you with and called you to have rulership and domain over. But what will you do with that crown? What will you do with that authority? Bible says the 24 elders, the moment they recognize the presence of the one they were in, they realize their authority is nothing in comparison to the authority of this one. And so they cast off their crowns. But I want to talk about what it really means to cast off our crowns. Because in Christianity, we've gotten to this place sometimes where we pretend to cast off our crowns. We pretend to do things for the presence of God, the glory of God. But we have some ulterior motive. I always used to say that. I think that scripture in the Bible is like a trick. It's like God put it in there to check and test us. When he says, "Do not seek ye the things of the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these added things will follow." Because when you put all these added things will follow, now suddenly some people are not seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. They are seeking the things that will follow. And the things of God and his kingdom of God and his righteousness is simply a strategy to get the things. So we have to check ourselves and test your heart and say, what is motivating me, moving me to do the things in the presence in the kingdom of God? Am I really laying my crown before God? Or is it an appearance before men? Because we cannot fool God. Bible says his word is as sharp as a two-edged sword, able to decipher between the bone and marrow and the intentions of the heart. Intentions even you don't know. Bible says the heart is the most deceitful thing amongst all things. Why? Because it's able to sometimes even deceive you that the motive that you are doing something with is good. And until you have presented it to God, you do not know your true motive. You only think you know your motive. And it caused me to think about where we sometimes have gotten to as a people in church. You know, when people go through trying and testing seasons and things aren't working out, we say, I'm in a wilderness period. God is like, God, get me out of this wilderness period. I noticed something. Trying, testing periods are not a sign of wilderness. Let me tell you what the sign of wilderness is. The sign of wilderness is that God does every single thing for you. So when you're doing things by your own strength and your things aren't working out, you think you're in a wilderness period. When the children of Israel were in the wilderness, God did everything. He provided manna, their clothes were growing, everything continued to fit them. His provision was supernatural. It was entirely, they were living fully on miracles, and 0% of it was based on their personal relationship with God. The actual sign was when they transitioned into the promised land, they went from simply God doing everything to having to learn how to cultivate where they were. It was a mixture of the miracle and the providence of God and their heart posture and the way they would present themselves before the Father. So when we say that I'm in a wilderness period because things are not working for me, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, and I can't see how God is going to do it for me, check what season you're really in. One of the biggest signs and one of the biggest troubles that we face is actually that God has carried us into the promised land. And we have forgotten the God that carried us. And so we're doing everything in our strength. And we are failing and faltering and blaming God. And it's because God has done so much for you that you've gotten comfortable in the promise and forgotten the God of the promise. You know, there's something that I learned in Adam and Eve, the very first example of this. They eat of the fruit and then they go and they hide. They hide from the presence of God, but they do not leave the promise of God. They did not run out of the garden. They were still in the garden. They were still in the territory where God was operating and kept them, where God had placed them, but they were avoiding the relationship. And sometimes as a church, we get that way. You remember what it is when you were struggling, when life was hard, when things were tough, when you didn't know where morning bread was going to come from. But God has blessed you so much. You've gotten too comfortable in the promises of God that you've forgotten him. And then you start doing things by your own wisdom, your own strength, your own capacity, and wondering where God is, why your emotions, why your heart isn't leaping with joy the way it ought to. Because you have gotten comfortable in God's presence. You've gotten comfortable, you have neglected the relationship with God. You don't serve the way you used to. You don't give the way you used to. You get frustrated when people come and they ask of you, you say, go work harder. You've forgotten when people lended their hand out to you when you had nothing. And so we get comfortable with what God has done in our lives. We forget the God of the promise. I want to talk today about the story of Joseph. Joseph is my namesake and so one of my favorite people in the Bible. And his story is, it shakes me. I want to talk about his seasons, where God carried him, the process God took him through, and what he had to learn, and how he learned to cast off his own crown. Bible says in Genesis 37, verse 3, says that his father loved him more than the rest of his siblings because he was his child of old age. And so his father gave him a multicolored tunic to wear. And his brothers became envious and jealous of what he carried because they saw the love relationship he had with his father. And so one day later on, his brothers, we all know Joseph had a dream, right? And his brothers were going, he thought his brothers were going to bow down and worship him because of the dream. And he in immaturity spoke of what God had revealed to him without full understanding. So after this happens, his brothers plan to kill him. And one of his brothers comes and tells him, let's not do that. Let's just throw him into the well. And then when his brother goes off, the rest of his brothers come together and they pull him out of the well. And then they sell him into slavery. But what happens is that after they've beaten him, thrown him, bashed him, and sold him, they take away his tunic. They use it and the blood that is all over it to prove to his father that he's actually dead. And Joseph has to learn that while this tunic of many colors represents great love that my father has for me, I cannot wear this tunic forever. I have to know how to let go of the tunic for the season that God has carried me and is carrying me into. It was a version of him casting off his crown because he was throwing away and letting go and releasing the sign of his father's love. Why? Because God would carry you into some seasons for a moment, and you have to learn and know when to let go of the season that you're in. After this happens, Joseph is sold into slavery, and he is working as a servant in Potiphar's house. And in Potiphar's house, we gather that Joseph has now gotten a new jacket, a new tunic. And Bible says that Joseph is so favored in the house of Potiphar that Potiphar gives him everything and puts it under his name. That Potiphar did not even know how much money he had. So much was his trust in Joseph. And then one day Potiphar's wife decides she has eyes for this guy. But Joseph continually rejects this notion. He says, I can't do that. Not with the favor. I cannot do it to Potiphar and I cannot do it to God. And so one day, Potiphar's wife is alone with Joseph in the house and no one else is around. And she decides, this is my opportunity. And Joseph, even though he realizes the favor he has in this house, when he realizes how blessed he is in this house, and you know, sometimes we get into opportunities in our lives where we think that our blessing is based on where we are, not who we are. And sometimes people will, you'll get into that conflict, that tension, that moment in your life. And you think, if I don't compromise myself here, I'll lose my blessing because I'll be kicked out the house. But Joseph let her grab onto his coat and made a run for it and let go of the house he was in, not knowing if this favor would follow him. Because sometimes God places you somewhere for a season. And often our problem as human beings is that we hold on to the thing that God has given us too tightly, and we are not aware when God is moving, when God's direction has shifted. We think, if I don't stay here, and some of you, God has placed you in positions of authority, he has given you jobs, and you think that your power, your authority, your grace is based on, I'm the CEO. Or I'm the MD, so I can't afford to leave this place or lose this place. But that is not where God put his oil. He put his oil on the man. With David, he anointed David. He did not anoint the throne. When David sat on the throne, he sat on the throne an anointed man. If he was taken off the throne, he'll still be an anointed man. Too many of us think the anointing is on the position. The anointing is on your relationship. We know what it's like in Nigeria. You think your anointing is, think until I get to Lagos, it can't grow. I can't blow until I come here. If I'm not in Lagos, Abuja, Port Harcourt, how am I going to? What if God took you from where you are and let you forget your relationships, the people you cultivated, relationships you built, resources you have, and God threw you in Zamfara State? Could you build what you built again? We've gotten so comfortable with the blessing of God that we don't know how to go where God is taking us anymore. We'll think we'll lose it all. God said, I anoint men. I do not anoint positions. If the oil is on your life, then you will know how to let go. When Job, look at the story of Job, because we love to think, okay, God just blessed him, double portion, yes. But there's always a process. You have to read between the lines. Joseph lost everything. Lost his family. Lost his stock. Lost every single thing he had. Lost all the people around him that he trusted. Even the ones that stayed alive no longer spoke well of him and thought he was an awful man, thought he was living in sin, thought that God had punished him. And so he now had nothing, and yet he grows to have double what he had. That's because God's oil was on the man. God knew that even if the devil came and threw everything at him, threw his best shots at him, my oil is on the man. And God showed me something. I traveled recently and I put my beard oil and I didn't close it properly and oil spilt on my shirt. I washed the shirt and when I looked at it, the stain was still there. And so I thought, well, I even forgot whether I washed it. I was like, maybe I didn't actually put it in the washing machine because how come the stain is still here? And so I washed it again. I've now washed it 3 times. The stain is still there. And more than the stain, the smell of the oil is still there. God said, when I put my oil on you, the scent of the oil will not wash away, nor will the mark of the oil wash away. People will pluck you from circumstances and think that they have defeated you because they got you out of where you looked comfortable. Your comfort is what will kill you. God said, when I put you in a place of tension, then the oil will rise up out of you and you will know that my oil does not easily wash off my children. And God has to take you through these processes. He has to. So Joseph now has lost a second coat. And now he has left Potiphar's house. And he has been imprisoned. But guess what? The favor still goes with him. The favor still goes with him. Bible says that God favored him so much that the leader, the chief security guard of the prison, puts every prisoner under Joseph's authority. Do you think that Joseph is looking at his circumstance and thinking, I don't understand it. Who am I? God favors his children. And so now he's in this house. He's in this prison and he's stuck. And it is a place of tension. Do not think that just because he has received this favor, he is now suddenly comfortable. He is still a prisoner in a prison. God has called you to uncomfortable places. And you think because of that, God has rejected you. God said, I have not rejected you. I am pruning you. I am pruning you for where I want to take you, what I want to do with you. And so, Joseph has gone through this process. And one day, Pharaoh's butler and baker are thrown into prison. And they both have a dream and they're both confused about this dream. And then the butler comes and tells the dream. And Joseph reveals the dream. Joseph reveals what it means. He tells to the butler that you're going to be risen up again and you're going to present before Pharaoh. But when you do that, please don't forget me. And then you see a little mark. Joseph is still in the pruning process. He hasn't gotten where God has taken him yet. Because he is still trying to solve his problem. And so he tries to solve his problem, tells the butler to get him out. The Bible says this. He says that he speaks to the butler. It's Genesis 39 verse 15. And he says, I was taken illegally out of the Hebrew land. And so you see where Joseph's mind is at. Joseph's mind is still thinking, I need to go to the land of the Hebrews. He doesn't know where his blessing is yet. And so God has revealed something that you see in his life. And so he has to sit in prison 2 more years. It wasn't 3 months. It wasn't 2 days. Me, I've never been to prison, but I don't think I want to go for 1 day. And God leaves him there for 2 more years under a pruning process. And then Pharaoh now has a dream when God says, I think I've got you where I need you. And Pharaoh sends all of the people, they get to all the different magicians, look for people to translate the dream. None can. It is only after all these people have failed that the butler finally remembers this guy I was in prison with. And so now they go and they call for Joseph, and Joseph dresses up. He puts on a nice jacket, puts on a nice mantle, likes coats. You know, he wants to look good, fresh for the appointment that God is taking him to. And he stands before Pharaoh and he reveals the meaning of the dream. And then I notice something I've never noticed before. After he reveals the dream, he gives him advice. He says, go and seek a wise man. Somebody who can keep the grain, 7 years worth of good grain, so that when the 7 years of plenty of little come, they have resources. Joseph has now learned humility. This same Joseph that said, you worship me one day to his brothers, has learned not to push himself forward. Suddenly he is giving Pharaoh strategy, but he is not trying to place himself as the one who will manifest it. And when God sees that I've worked my work in the heart of this young man, suddenly Pharaoh turns and says, why would I look for another wise man when a wise man stands before me? That everyone I considered wise before could not do what you have done through the name of your God. And so he turns to him and he starts to take off his jacket and his ring. And he gives his signet ring to Joseph. And he puts that mark of authority on him. And then he puts his jacket around him. And if we know anything about kings and leaders, if we watch the coronation of the king, we saw that a robe gets placed on you. And this robe, it carries authority. And so the jackets that Joseph wore in the past, they looked ideal to wear because they had favor in their season, but they did not have authority. And if he did not learn to let go of the jacket that looked pretty, the one with many colors that his father gave him, he would not have been able to wear the jacket that Pharaoh would give him that would have authority. We sometimes hold on too tight to the things God has called you to let go of. Because if you cannot let go of them, you cannot hold on to Him. We get so caught up in the promises, so caught up in the things that look, the glamour, we forget the God that gave you that promise. That if I'm going through seasons that look ugly, it's because God is working in me, and because there's still something that needs doing in my life. There's still a place that God wants to place me. There's still something God wants to dress me in my life, and I need to go through the process. I need to learn how to cast my crown and let go of the thing that gave me fame. The thing that people looked at me and said, well, that's what I know you for. You might have known me for that, but heaven knows me for this. And where heaven has carried me and called me, that is where I will go. One thing I'm learning when Pastor Wiley was talking about purpose is we are so caught up as human beings in purpose. And so you're chasing your purpose, and you think your purpose is this one thing. Purpose change. Seasons change. Because you're called according to the purpose of God. The Bible says all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose. And so you hold on so tightly that they know me here. They reverence me here. People love me here. When I come into the office, people dobale for me here. If I stand somewhere else, they might not dobale for me. And so you're holding on to something that is keeping you in comfort but killing promise. It's why I'm a huge fan of the story of Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs builds Apple. Things are going well, but there's a little bit of anxiety in the leadership. A lot of tension because he's kind of a ruthless leader. And one day the entire board votes him out of the Apple. And you think, I invested my whole life in this. What gift do I have to use again? Steve Jobs goes and builds an animation company, a totally different industry called Pixar, well known for films like Toy Story. And so he builds something because the oil, it was not in Apple. There was grace because God had given him capacity, talents, things. The Bible says the gifts of God are without repentance. And so even though he was thrown out by the same people that spoke evil of him, when he builds Pixar, they come back. And this guy gets reinstated as CEO of Apple when they buy Pixar. Why? Because the oil is not in that position. You keep thinking the oil is in a location and forgetting it's on your head. I asked God to send me on a mission. There are people here, and one thing that I was praying while I was praying yesterday, Deacon Daly, God said very strongly to me that you are a sign and evidence of the fruit of learning to let go. Because it's not easy for men to retire and quit when you can keep on amassing more wealth. God said, you have recognized that the season I'm calling you into now is a fresh one and a new one. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Do your eyes not see it? But he values your obedience. And because of your obedience and your diligence to in your, I'm going to call it young age. I haven't reached there. I'm still a long way from there. But in your young age still, God says, what I will do with you because of the hearts that I see in you will never be forgotten in the earth. And greater shall be the latter days than the former days. I don't know if Mrs. Uche Mbagu is here. Here this Sunday. Okay, she's not here. If you're tuning in online, God said your son will speak. He said your son will speak. And he is preparing you and wants to prepare your heart because it's going to be like a leaving of Egypt into Israel. You're going from worse to better, but sometimes the tension that comes in the wilderness feels hard to adjust to. It's going to be hard for you to have a 22-year-old man learning to speak, but God will give you grace because he has poured oil for this season.